Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello, and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast, Brightcast edition for the week of September 23rd, 2019. I'm Brian Strauser, principal and CEO here at BrightPath.
I'm Bray Wheeler, consultant at BrightPath.
And we're going to get started with our kind of three topics for the week. I'm going to let Bray start off with Tropical Storm Karen.
Tropical Storm Karen, another one that's brewing out there in the Atlantic. So kind of over the weekend and into this morning, the National Hurricane Center gave some kind of updated tracking as well as kind of updates on what they expect that storm to do. I know we talked about last week that it's pretty active in the Atlantic, pretty active in the Pacific. That trend continues. But Karen in particular, which is now a tropical storm, they expect to grow into hurricane strength. Unfortunately, it's tracking over kind of a lot of the areas in the Caribbean that have already been kind of well hit, in particular Puerto Rico and the U.S. and British Virgin Islands. They do expect that to reach hurricane status here pretty shortly in the next day or two. And that track has the potential to hit the U.S. coast. So it's another storm that's kind of out there, could certainly kind of cross over the Bahamas again. That tracking doesn't look likely at the moment, but we all know those things can change. But this one is, they do think, strong enough that it could...
might sustain its way through.
Sustain its way all the way up to the U.S. mainland. So,
and where is this potentially, if it does come to the mainland, are there any landfall protection areas yet?
Nothing yet. The closest it'll get, it won't even reach kind of the U.S. by Friday. So I imagine as we get later on into this week...
we'll get a better view.
We'll get a better picture, but right now... could be anywhere from Florida, kind of up through Virginia is what it kind of looks like. So Carolinas are probably kind of dead center, at least, mm-hmm. if kind of current course.
It's pretty far out, though, for pretty that kind out. Of forecast. So what companies should be doing right now is monitoring the storm, watching updates from the National Hurricane Center. I would not go in for, you know, crazy projections from local news. Go to the source, look at the National Hurricane Center maps. Read their forecast. They do a Facebook Live now, and I believe they have an audio podcast you can listen to if you want to hear their forecasters kind of talk and provide more context than the written forecast.
Yeah, because really all they have right now is confidence that, you know, these tropical storm force winds, rainfall, flooding, mudslides, is really only Puerto Rico and the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. On Tuesday. So that's really all they're confident in. But like Brian said, pay attention to kind of the National Hurricane Center. Just take some time to review your plans, review your processes. If you haven't already done so, as we've been talking, just kind of arm yourself because we're still in hurricane season. It doesn't officially end for another month and a half, but we all know that can go longer. So
that's right.
Might as well be ready.
So the next item of discussion is, if you're a New Yorker, everyone's favorite event to deal with in New York, which is the United Nations General Assembly meeting. This is the meeting, the kickoff of the General Assembly session every year, where something like 3/4 of the world's heads of state or heads of government come to New York to make major speeches as principals in front of the United Nations General Assembly. It's tradition that the United States, President of the United States, almost always is a speaker, along with almost, I think, about 3/4 of the world's leaders speak in front of the General Assembly. It is a security nightmare because all of them come with their own security details and motorcades, and the U.S. Secret Service and United States Diplomatic Protection Service, part of the State Department, are really helping to manage all of this with NYPD and the UN police, who actually control what's going on inside the United Nations complex there on the river in New York City. Bray, what's going on in New York?
Traffic.
Beyond all of that.
Your traffic report for New York is congested. No, really for New York right now, I mean, there's a lot of... for businesses that are in there, and they're probably grown accustomed to this because it happens every year. And so probably the amount of impact is pretty minimal. But some of the topical issues that are kind of coming out there that companies and organizations should be kind of keyed into is one, and today they kind of kicked it, kind of had a kind of a pre-meeting around climate. And that's gotten a lot of media coverage kind of globally around what that is. A lot of the...
There was the climate strike protests over the weekend here in Minnesota. Had several thousand people turn out for the one that was at the Minnesota State Capitol.
There's one in D.C. today that's already prompted kind of several arrests and a lot of congestion and disruption there, just from a logistical and transportation standpoint. But really that topic in particular, comes with all sorts of kind of baggage here domestically in the U.S. But just from a topical standpoint, a lot of the global countries are looking to kind of reposition that as kind of a Paris Accord kind of part two conversation. And the U.S. has largely been kind of sidelined a little bit in that conversation, probably both on purpose and on both sides. So that just in particular, that's going to get a lot of media coverage. There's a lot of different topics they're talking through that will probably carry over into a lot of the speeches. Brazil's president is typically kind of traditionally the first speaker at the UN. And so there's an expectation that the Amazon rainforest burning topic will come into play there. But that will just, there'll be a lot of discussion and a lot that seems to be the big theme for them. The other kind of major theme at the moment is around Iran and the Middle East, certainly off the kind of Saudi attack, as well as the British oil tankers that Iran has seized, and kind of an update on that front. So Iran today has actually released that British oil tanker, said it's free to leave whenever it would like.
Finally.
Funny enough, kind of right before the UN General Assembly. So what's interesting about that is the U.S. has greatly restricted Iran's foreign minister's movement mm-hmm. within New York, which isn't, we have some control over a lot of that in terms of their movement around New York and where they can go and how they can come in. But once they get kind of on UN grounds, they're kind of free to kind of go where they want. But we've greatly restricted them, which puts them in a position to be confronted by a lot of different countries, representatives, things like that, to kind of force the issue in the kind of the conversation there. Mm-hmm. So that kind of Iran topic, which bleeds into kind of a broader conversation around that Middle East conflict that's going on, seems to be the other kind of key element that'll play out there. So
that's kind of the, at the UN General Assembly, when the heads of state are there, it's always kind of the, there's a little bit of proxy combat by speech that goes on it on stage, right? Yep. I mean, we saw many years ago during George W. Bush's presidency, he spoke before the UN General Assembly, and then I believe the next speaker was the then dictator from Venezuela, who got up and immediately talked about the smell of sulfur and the fact that the devil had just been on the stage. And there's just a lot of interesting back and forth in yep. proxy conflict. Will we see something like that between Iran and Saudi Arabia, or are either speaking?
Probably. It does sound like they're speaking. The notable ones that aren't speaking that seem to be garnering the most attention is Russian President Vladimir Putin is not attending. He typically doesn't attend. Xi Jinping from China is not attending this year, typically doesn't attend, but has in the past. But then Benjamin Netanyahu, who's also kind of a lightning rod for these kind of conversations to make sure that, you know, he's getting his jabs or his points across in his speeches, is not attending, kind of based on his kind of domestic
election situation, yeah.
Domestic politics. So he is always kind of one to kind of spur some conversation. He won't be attending. So I think it leaves a lot of room for kind of some of those less outspoken voices or less notable voices to get some airtime. Mm-hmm. So I think certainly people are kind of keyed up for Brazil's president to kind of talk about the Amazon. Donald Trump is speaking next. And then kind of after that, it'll kind of go down the, the list. So there definitely probably will be some conversation around that, and certainly in the Security Council meetings and things like that, that these kind of both these issues as well as others will kind of come to the forefront.
And then a bit of our last issue for discussion on this week's episode is the climate change crisis, so to speak, and the climate change protests that happened over the weekend.
Yes, we touched on some of that. But yeah, really that the climate change forum and conversation is getting a lot of attention right now as the UN is convening. The kind of teenage kind of
Greta
poster girl, Greta Thunberg, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Apologies if that's a mistake. But she has garnered quite a bit of attention today. She actually spoke.
She spoke at the General Assembly, right? At the forum.
Yeah, at this climate forum today. There's also been some memes of her as President Trump walks into the room and things like that. So she's definitely getting a lot of attention. She spurred a lot of kind of support across the globe. Certainly here domestically, we're seeing a lot of things in the U.S. in terms of protests that's happening. As Brian mentioned, in Minneapolis this past weekend, in D.C. today, around the country, but also internationally, in particular in Europe, where she's from. But there's just there's going to be a lot of conversation around that and a lot of, I think, greater pressure for companies to start kind of reevaluating some of their stances, where they're at, if kind of this conversation trend continues, that there's going to be a bigger conversation likely coming that companies and organizations are probably going to have to start keying up for, more so than probably they have in the past.
Well, I think you hit upon something that we don't always think about in these situations, and that is that the protests and events this past weekend going into the rest of the week have been primarily aimed at government about them taking action and passing regulation and moving towards a more a renewable energy focused future. But like other activist causes that we've seen, I would predict that this also shifts towards how do we apply pressure to organizations to reform their own policies and approaches, mm-hmm. to move themselves towards renewable energy and other factors, because they can get there faster and they are more respondent to pressure than government is. Government's usually the lagging organization here, right? Wait until the next vote. Yeah, I mean, by all predictions, the youth vote in 2020 in the United States is going to be epic in terms of the size of the vote, the number of voters that'll be coming out, and particularly in comparison to Gen X and Gen Y, which are relatively small in terms of a generation compared to the baby boomers and the Zers, whatever. Gen Z. But I think that as we're seeing in other elements, and as I think we've seen come out in some polling data more recently, the Zers want companies to be involved in social change. Mm-hmm. They see companies as agents of that. They make buying decisions based upon social involvement. And that we could see them put pressure on companies to act on climate change, gun control. I mean, there's a whole host of topics mm-hmm. that I think have come up more recently around this. They're not afraid to act on that. Whereas opposed, I'm an Xer, people of my generation are much less likely to make a decision about where to shop based on politics.
Right. Well, and I just think that they're, it makes sense too, because that population is growing up seeing and hearing and things like that, there are big issues in terms of the climate, the environment, the way that businesses kind of package and process and build and manufacture and grow and expand, and cities and how people's habits and things like that. They're very aware of what's happening there. And they are a big enough block that they can start to raise their voice and start to put some pretty good pressure on companies. Maybe not right away. They obviously don't have kind of the economic kind of boost to, kind of challenge they don't have the buying power to kind of sustain that right now. But
not yet.
They're coming. And I think there's a lot of, Gen Y, Gen X, things like that would kind of go along for the ride a little bit. You know, certainly there's ones that would oppose it too, but you know, I just think it's that topic of conversation, and not just because it's kind of at the forefront of the General Assembly, but it's kind of prompted that issue for discussion, is companies and organizations in general really need to start thinking about kind of their habits, the way that they operate, things mm-hmm. like that. It's probably not immediate change. That's not realistic, but you know, that pressure is coming. And you know, however you feel about the topic, we all like cleaner air. We all like cleaner water, you know? So right. It's one of those things where, you know, it's not the worst thing to start thinking about that and preparing yourself to kind of be at the forefront. Probably not a space you want to be too much of a fast follower in, as we've said before, but you know, it's definitely a conversation that's not going away in comparison to kind of all the other distractions that are happening and all the other topics that are garnering attention too. It's right. a major topic now.
Well, and I think what I would add to that is just, I think the practicality for companies is, if you're not taking a stance today, that as you think about managing your organization's reputation and the kind of monitoring and intelligence monitoring you might be doing, these kind of social issues, climate change, gun control, others, it's time to start considering that as a part of your reputation strategy. Mm-hmm. I'm not advocating for taking a position either way on any of these issues, but I think companies should be monitoring what's being said about them in relation to these thing about the top 15, 20 social issues
yep.
that are going on, where pressure is starting to come to businesses. Companies should start monitoring around those specific issues when it comes to reputational intelligence.
And if it's not on your kind of top 10, top 15 list, you should probably start putting it on there, mm-hmm. Or at least having that conversation to explore getting it on there. Because like Brian said, there's a lot of things you can do without even having to be public about what it is that you're doing. And there's, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing you have to do today other than start having the conversation and start thinking about how your organization fits into that narrative.
Mm-hmm. That's it for this edition, the Brightcast edition of the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. We'll be back with another episode next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.